So far, we have looked at what constitutes insurance and when a risk is located in the UK. Now we need to look in more detail at the rates of IPT. We have already mentioned that IPT is charged at a standard rate of 5%, a higher rate of 17.5%, and some contracts of insurance are specifically exempt. The standard rate of 5% is essentially the default. This means that if the contract is not liable to the higher rate or specifically exempted, then it will be liable to the 5% rate. We'll look first at those contracts that are liable to the higher rate. These can be found in Schedule 6A of the Finance Act 1994. They include, in the main, motor car insurance, domestic appliance insurance, and travel insurance. We will look at these in more detail in a minute. Contracts that are specifically exempt are contained within Schedule 7A of the Finance Act and include the following. Contracts of reinsurance. This includes reinsurance of surety bonds, contracts for long-term business, for example, permanent health insurance, or PHI for short, or mortgage-linked insurance. Contracts covering motor vehicles for handicapped people, commercial ships, lifeboats, commercial aircraft, risks outside the UK, which we have looked at already, foreign or international rolling stock, channel tunnel, goods in foreign or international transit, credit, exchange losses, and financial facilities. This is a big list, and you might want to spend some time having a look through the detail of Schedule 7A. What we're going to do now is look in more detail at the types of insurance that are liable to the higher rate. Let's take motor car insurance first. This was listed under Schedule 6A and liable to the higher rate of IPT. If we look closely at Schedule 6A, it says that motor car insurance does not fall within this schedule if it has been provided free of charge. In addition, the insurance only falls within this paragraph and is therefore liable to the higher rate of IPT if one of the following conditions is met. The insurer is a supplier of motor cars. The contract is arranged through a supplier of motor cars. The insurer is connected with a supplier of motor cars. The contract is arranged through someone who is connected with a supplier of motor cars, or the insurer is someone who pays the whole or part of the premium received or a fee for arranging that contract to a supplier of motor cars, or someone connected with a supplier of motor cars. Or the contract is arranged through someone who pays the whole or part of the premium received or a fee for arranging that contract to a supplier of motor cars. Or someone connected with a supplier of motor cars. As an example, if you buy a new Peugeot and also purchase insurance from them at the same time, this would appear to fall within the schedule and be liable to the higher rate of IPT, as Peugeot are a supplier of motor cars. However, if you read further on down paragraph 2 and take a look at subparagraph 2A, it impacts on what we've just said. It says that fully comprehensive, third-party fire and theft or just third-party motor insurance does not fall within this schedule, and therefore is not liable to the higher rate of IPT. Instead, this type of insurance is liable to the standard rate of 5%. There is a reason why this ordinary motor insurance is excluded from the higher rate. Initially, when the legislation was first written, IPT was only due at the 5% rate. The higher rate of IPT was introduced at a later point to counter VAT avoidance schemes, some of which were run by motor car dealers. Imagine a car dealer sells you a car and an extended warranty. The car is liable to 17.5% VAT, and the extended warranty, under the legislation as it stood at the time, would have been liable to 5% IPT. There is no VAT on the warranty. The car dealer knows that if he reduces the price of the car and inflates the price of the extended warranty by the same amount, then 17.5% VAT is saved in return for an additional 5% IPT charge. So overall, there is a monetary saving. To counter this type of scheme, Customs changed the legislation and inserted Schedule 6A, which imposed 17.5% IPT on the extended warranty instead of 5%. This meant that the value shifting carried out by the car dealer would no longer result in a monetary benefit. Reducing VAT by 17.5% to increase IPT by 17.5% would produce no savings. So the reason why ordinary motor insurance is excluded from the higher rate and only liable to the 5% rate
is because this was not the type of insurance that the avoidance schemes were targeting. It's the extended warranties when sold by car dealers that customs were trying to impose a 17.5% charge on.
What insurance is left then to fall within Schedule 6A? The types of insurance include mechanical breakdown, for example extended warranties, or roadside assistance.
These types of insurance would be liable to 17.5%, but remember, this is only where they are supplied in one of the circumstances we mentioned above. For example, the insurer is a supplier of motor cars.
We will also look at insurance relating to domestic goods. We have already seen that this type of insurance is liable to the higher rate of IPT as it falls within paragraph 3 of Schedule 6A.
The legislation here is similar to motor insurance that we just looked at. In order to fall within this schedule, it must not be provided free of charge and needs to satisfy one of the following conditions. The insurer is a supplier of domestic appliances. The contract is arranged through a supplier of domestic appliances. The insurer is connected with a supplier of domestic appliances. The contract is arranged through someone who is connected with a supplier of domestic appliances. The insurer is someone who pays the whole or part of the premium received or a fee for arranging that contract to a supplier of domestic appliances or someone connected with a supplier of domestic appliances.
Or the contract is arranged through someone who pays the whole or part of the premium received or a fee for arranging that contract to a supplier of domestic appliances or someone connected with a supplier of domestic appliances.
There used to be an extra statutory concession contained in Notice 48 that excluded ordinary household contents insurance from the higher rate of IPT. This was under the same principle that we've seen for motor car insurance, i.e., this was not the type of insurance that was the subject of the artificial VAT value shifting schemes, and therefore it was not customs' intention that they be brought within the higher rate of IPT. From the 1st of April 2010, this concession is withdrawn. Unlike the ordinary motor car insurance, which we looked at above, which is specifically mentioned in the legislation as being excluded from the higher rate, there is no similar provision for ordinary contents insurance. The reason for this is that customs believe that one is not necessary. Domestic appliance insurance is only liable to the higher rate when one of the circumstances above is present. Ordinary contents insurance is hardly ever sold by a supplier of domestic appliances, so customs have felt that there is no need to put this exclusion on a statutory footing. They're expanding their guidance to confirm that this type of insurance is not liable to the higher rate. So withdrawing the concession does not alter the rate of IPT on these types of insurance. They will still be liable to the 5% rate.
So, once again, the type of insurance that remains liable to the higher rate is contracts providing cover for the mechanical breakdown of goods, but again, only when provided by someone in the circumstances we mentioned above. For example, where the insurer is a supplier of domestic appliances.
We will also take a more detailed look at travel insurance. Travel insurance falls within paragraph 4 of Schedule 6A and is liable to the higher rate of IPT. This is where it provides for travel risks for a person travelling.
Note that if a company takes out insurance which covers an employee's travel risks, but the employee has no right to claim on the policy, this is not travel insurance, but corporate liability insurance, and therefore is liable to the standard rate of IPT.
The types of travel risks are detailed further down the paragraph and cover cancellation, delayed or missed departure, curtailment of travel, loss or delayed arrival of baggage, and personal injury. You can read about them in paragraph 4, subsection 3. There are further conditions about the risks as well. It includes risks associated with or related to travel, firstly outside the UK, secondly by air within the UK, thirdly within the UK for travel falling in either 1 or 2, as mentioned above, or lastly, where absence from home is for at least one night. You will note from reading this paragraph that it is irrelevant who is selling the travel insurance. Therefore, unlike motor car or domestic appliance insurance, everybody who sells it will have to charge the higher rate of IPT. There has been some controversy with respect to the higher rate of IPT on travel insurance. We have just said that no matter who sells travel insurance, it is liable to the higher rate of IPT. However, this was not always the case. Previously, it was only travel agents and tour operators who were liable to the higher rate of IPT on travel insurance. Other entities were able to charge 5% IPT on travel insurance that they sold. Lon Polly and their travel insurance provider sought judicial review that the higher rate of IPT was incompatible with European law. The High Court found for Lon Polly on one ground that the application of the standard rate of IPT was an illegal state aid, and therefore, in order to be able to apply it, the UK should have notified it to the European Commission. Effectively, by allowing some sellers of travel insurance to charge IPT at 5%, puts them at an unfair advantage over the tour operators and travel agents who are liable to the higher rate. Therefore, the UK was illegally aiding one sector of the insurance business and distorting competition. As a consequence of this ruling, the standard rate of IPT was withdrawn on travel insurance, so everyone now pays the same amount, and the issue of illegal state aid no longer applies here. Customs appealed the decision, and the Court of Appeal, on the 26th of February 1999, dismissed their appeal. Customs decided not to petition the House of Lords to appeal the Court of Appeal's decision. Since the Lon Polly decision, there have been more cases concerning the issue of illegal state aid. The issue is equally relevant in respect of sales of mechanical breakdown insurance for cars and domestic appliances. We've already seen that if this insurance is arranged by suppliers of the goods, or people connected with such suppliers, it is charged at the higher rate of IPT. When sold by people unconnected with suppliers of the goods, it is liable to the standard rate of IPT. The tribunal case of GIL Insurance Limited raised the issue of illegal state aid. This company was supplying domestic appliance insurance. The issue as to whether the standard rate constituted an illegal state aid was referred to the European Court of Justice.
On the 29th of April 2004, the ECJ issued its decision. It held that the reduced 5% rate did not constitute a state aid. This is because all contracts were initially liable to the 5% rate. The 17.5% rate was imposed later on some contracts to counter avoidance. Therefore, the UK was not illegally aiding one sector of the community, but countering avoidance by another. Currently, therefore, the two rates for domestic appliance and car insurance remain in the legislation.
Now we have had a look at the rates of insurance and what they apply to, have a go at this quiz and decide whether each of the items listed are liable to the standard rate of 5%, the higher rate of 17.5%, or whether they are specifically exempt. You will see appearing on the screen a table with 10 types of contracts listed in the first column, and three columns next to it asking you to correctly identify the IPT treatment. Type a capital X in the box that you believe is correct. In some cases you may feel that more than one box could apply. If this is the case, type an X in all relevant boxes. Once you have input all of your answers, press the Enter key and the correct answers will appear. If you believe that any of the contracts listed are not insurance contracts at all, and therefore do not come within the IPT regime, then leave all boxes blank. So, how well did you do? Medical insurance is liable to the standard rate of IPT, as it is specifically excluded from Schedule 7A. It is not exempt as long-term business. Permanent health insurance, however, is covered in paragraph 2 of Schedule 7A and is specifically exempt. Third-party fire and theft car insurance is liable to the standard rate of IPT.
This is contained in subparagraph 2A of paragraph 2 of Schedule 6A.
12 months travel insurance, which is sold to a UK resident individual, is liable to the higher rate of IPT no matter who sells it. It is contained in Schedule 6A. It does not constitute an overseas risk, as the insured was habitually resident in the UK when it was taken out. Free of charge car insurance is liable to the standard rate of IPT. It is excluded from Schedule 6A. An extended warranty on a dishwasher is likely to be liable to the higher rate of IPT, where it is sold in one of the circumstances we mentioned earlier. For example, if it is sold by a supplier of dishwashers, it could be liable to the standard rate of IPT if it is sold by other persons who do not fall within the categories mentioned earlier. Credit insurance provided to a UK business is liable to the standard rate of IPT. Although credit insurance is listed in Schedule 7A, it is only exempt if it is provided to overseas customers or UK businesses in relation to the export of goods. A guarantee provided to a creditor in the event of non-payment by another party is not an insurance contract. An ordinary manufacturer's warranty on the sale of goods is not an insurance contract. The seller is complying with his legal obligations in that the goods are fit for their purpose and will last a reasonable amount of time. The final one. Travel insurance sold by a US company to a UK resident individual is debatable. Although we are not told the length of the travel insurance, if it is taken out in the UK, or the person is a UK habitually resident individual when it is taken out, it will constitute a UK risk, so it is not exempt under paragraph 8 of Schedule 7A and is liable to the higher rate of IPT. If it covered insurance of up to 4 months and was taken out abroad, then it would not constitute a UK risk and would be exempt.